It's 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for Monday, August 15th, 2022. I'm Derek Gilbert, working from alternate studio tonight as making up some time that we took to travel to Albuquerque over the weekend. Sharon and I were gone for a few days at the International Symposium on Archaeology and the Bible, which was presented by the crew that is leading the dig at the site in Jordan. That is, they've convinced us anyway, the site of ancient Sodom. So a wonderful weekend, but again, it did cut into the usual routine. So topic number 5 for this Monday, the Satanic Verses. A number of ultra-conservative Iranian newspapers praising the attacker of Salman Rushdie, the 75-year-old author, was stabbed just moments before he was to address a group at the Chautauqua Institution in New York State. He's the author of the 1988 novel, The Satanic Verses. The title is taken from verses in the Quran in which Muhammad repudiated an earlier revelation that he'd received in which he decreed that Muslims should worship the three main female deities of Mecca. They were considered to be the daughters of Allah. Well, he later repudiated that when some of the Muslims who heard this were not really crazy about the idea. So Muhammad essentially said, oh, my bad, Satan tricked me and got me to say this thing, hence the Satanic Verses. Anyway, Rushdie reportedly suffered nerve damage to an arm, damage to his liver, serious damage to an eye, extensive blood loss. He was put on a ventilator for a while, but as of Sunday, according to his agent, he is off the ventilator. He's able to speak. The attacker is identified as 24-year-old Hadi Matar from New Jersey, who was arrested at the scene charged with second-degree attempted murder and assault with a weapon. Topic number 4, the FBI sending out a warning. The bulletin from the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security sent to law enforcement agencies around the country warning of increased threats against the agency following the FBI's raid last Monday on Donald Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. Interesting how, as I mentioned last week, the corporate media changed the wording from raid on Mar-a-Lago to executed a search warrant at Mar-a-Lago. Sounds more pleasant, more civil, more justified than raid. Well, anyway, according to this bulletin, the FBI and DHS claim they've seen an increase in violent threats against law enforcement, judiciary, government personnel as well, including a particular threat to place a so-called dirty bomb in front of FBI headquarters. Now, we don't condone violence, but coupled with the recent news, thanks to Project Veritas, that the FBI considers people who want to hold to the Constitution, who fly the Gadsden flag and the Betsy Ross flag, and mention that the unarmed Ashley Babbitt was the only person who died as a direct result of what happened at the U.S. Capitol last January 6th. They are the primary threats to national security. You might excuse us if we take this warning somewhat less than seriously. Topic number 3, the Pelosi aftermath. Nancy Pelosi's ego trip to Taiwan is a gift that just keeps on giving, apparently. It looks now as though she's made everybody angry. The White House, the Chinese Communist Party, and now it appears the people of Taiwan, or at least certain members of the Taiwanese government. Turns out that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's son is the second largest investor in a Chinese tech company whose senior executive was arrested in a fraud investigation, this being reported by the Daily Mail, which is a news outlet in the UK. The Daily Mail from London does better reporting on American political scandal than most American media outlets, but I digress. Anyway, 53-year-old Paul Pelosi Jr., traveled with Nancy and her entourage to Taiwan week before last, did not disclose his stake in the Chinese tech firm before flying to Taiwan with his mother. He's not only a major investor in this company called Borqs, B-O-R-Q-S, which is invested in China's 5G sector and China's growing Internet of Things network. He's also worked as a consultant with the firm, and he was rewarded for his work with 700,000 shares of stock, which at the time made him the largest shareholder in this company other than the CEO. It's not clear what Paul Pelosi Jr., who's on your right in the screen behind me, did for the firm, but upon learning that Pelosi Jr. had accompanied Nancy Pelosi to Taiwan, Several Taiwanese politicians, including the former chairman of the island's Financial Supervisory Commission, demanded to know whether the island's ruling party, the Democratic Progressive Party, has a financial stake or interest in Nancy Pelosi's dealings. You might remember that Nancy and her husband Paul Sr. have been accused of insider trading connected to some very shrewd and timely trades that Paul Sr. made on tech companies like Apple, Amazon, and Alphabet, Google's parent company, last month, that netted millions of dollars in profits for the Pelosi family. As Speaker of the House, Nancy earns about $223,500 a year, but the family's net worth is estimated as high as $252 million. She's really, really good at picking stocks, apparently. Now, maybe it's just my skeptical nature. Maybe I'm just, you know, getting old and cranky, but doesn't it seem odd? Perhaps there is just, maybe it's me, but it seems that there is a pattern developing among children of the highest ranking Democrat officials, their ability to almost uncannily land really, really lucrative positions with foreign companies as they just happen to be children of the people who are running the world's largest economy. Again, maybe it's just me. By the way, just 12 days after Nancy Pelosi's trip, which is still, you know, rippling across the pond, another group of American lawmakers visited Taiwan, this time led by Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey, Democrat. It could be that they're just wanting a slice of that pie. I don't know. According to Taiwan's defense ministry, by the way, on Sunday, at least 10 Chinese planes crossed the line into Taiwan's air defense zone. A dozen more aircraft and ships were spotted in the area. And last Tuesday, Undersecretary of Defense for Policy Colin Kahl here in the United States confirmed that the U.S. Navy will conduct another freedom of navigation exercise. They will sail through the Taiwan Strait. Poking the dragon yet again. Topic number two, Israel. It's being reported that Israeli fighter jets launched a series of attacks on areas near Damascus, the capital of Syria, and the coastal city of Tartus on Sunday night, killing three soldiers and wounding three others. That's according to Syria's official state media. Israel doesn't acknowledge attacks on Syria and had no comment, which was not a surprise. Heavy explosions were heard near Tartus and along the Lebanese coast. State-run broadcaster Sana, citing a source in the Syrian military, claimed that the missiles were fired from Lebanese airspace and that Syrian air defenses shot down at least a couple of the missiles. Bear in mind that Syrian military claims to shoot down missiles every time Israel launches a strike into Syria. Take that with a grain of salt. Coming up, a story from the famed Globe Theater in London that's too weird even for Blackadder. Little British TV reference for you there. I'll explain next on 5 and 10.
The book of Genesis prophesied that the Messiah would be born of the seed of the woman, but Genesis also predicted another seed would arrive on earth, and he is the final Nephilim. Skywatch TV is proud to present The Final Nephilim Skywatch Exclusive. When you order Ryan Peterson's new book, The Final Nephilim, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive the never-before-seen exclusive DVD content, Quantum Prophecy, starring Ryan Peterson and Josh Peck, and The Assyrian, a video expose of an ancient evil. In the new groundbreaking book, The Final Nephilim, author and researcher Ryan Peterson details how, while many have portrayed the Antichrist to be a charismatic military genius, he will actually be something far more sinister. He is the Final Nephilim, a fallen angelic human hybrid who will use occult power to lure most of the world into the greatest deception in human history. Through his revelatory research, Ryan Peterson answers questions such as, will the fallen angels once again attempt to mingle themselves with the seed of men? Who or what is the Antichrist? And does he have a supernatural origin? What is the connection between quantum physics and the biblical symbolism of the scroll? What role do UFOs and alien phenomena play in end time events? And how do Jesus' warnings about the days of Noah decipher the prophecies of Revelation? You'll also receive the never-before-released interview, Quantum Prophecy, on DVD, where Skywatch TV's own Josh Peck sits down with Ryan Peterson to speak about quantum physics as it relates to biblically prophetic topics, such as the Mark of the Beast, ancient antichrists, and angels. And as an added bonus, Quantum Prophecy also includes four of the absolute best episodes of Josh Peck's popular television show, Into the Multiverse, entitled Untangling Quantum Entanglement, Quantum Tunneling, The Strangeness of Quantum Fields, and The Real Science and Fake Religion of Quantum Biology. But that's not all. We're also including the never-before-seen content on DVD entitled The Assyrian, where Ryan Peterson goes into detail about an ancient evil who once walked on the earth and is set to return from the abyss to enter human flesh once again and to continue his reign of terror. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $70. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So prepare for a study in Revelation that travels through time and space to decipher the most mysterious prophecies of the apocalypse. This collection is only available through Skywatch TV, so don't delay. The final Nephilim Skywatch exclusive, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Item number one today, it's another win for the patriarchy. First, Joan of Arc, by the way, Blackadder, funny British comedy show starring Rowan Atkinson. If you've not seen it, you should. Anyway, first Joan of Arc, now Queen Elizabeth I, according to academics working at the famed Globe Theatre in London, who helped make a certain writer you maybe heard of, Will Shakespeare, get famous. Yeah, the Globe has been around that long, more than 400 years. They claimed that Joan of Arc was non-binary because, and in fact, they're making it this way for an upcoming play based on her life. She will use non-binary pronouns in the play, they, them. Excuse me, Will Shakespeare would have an aneurysm. They and them is a plural pronoun. Anyway, they are giving the same treatment now to Queen Elizabeth I, one of England's longest reigning and most famous monarchs. Why? Because she was not a stereotypical woman. Therefore, according to the giant brains working for the Globe Theater, she must have been non-binary, just like Joan of Arc. They did manly things, therefore they couldn't possibly have been girls. You know, it's like when a little girl plays with her brother's toy trucks, that means she's really a boy in a girl's body. Likewise, when a woman succeeds in a man's world, as Elizabeth I did, as Joan of Arc did for a time, it's not because they were strong, intelligent, capable women, it's because they were really boys trapped in girls' bodies. If you detect a whiff of inconsistency, hypocrisy even, you're not alone. This is literally the modern, really postmodern worldview where reality is whatever you make it. But the irony here, the hypocrisy, is that you can't have a woman succeed in a man's world because she's smart, talented, gifted, brave, strong. No. It's because she's really a boy in a girl's body. Progressives are doing the work that male chauvinist pigs tried and failed to accomplish for centuries. Well done, progressives. Another win for the patriarchy. Well, this is why we do what we do at Skywatch TV, to call it out and to be aware that this is not just intellectual insanity. This is really a spiritual thing. And you can trace this back to the influence of ancient deities who, for a very long time, literally millennia, have been trying to take what God created and called good and deconstruct it. Skywatch Films is part of our effort. We've got documentary films on cutting-edge topics like the UFO phenomenon, the transhumanist movement, part of which is the deconstruction of gender. Transhumanism argues not only can you overcome death through technology, but you can then make yourself into whatever you want. Find out more at skywatchfilms.com. You can access these cutting-edge films for as little as $3 in full HD. Again, skywatchfilms.com. During the month of August, our gift, speaking of progressive insanity, or progressive evil, more accurately, our thank you for your donation of any amount, if you're in the U.S. or Canada, is the very timely book by Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, Progressive Evil. It's our way of saying thank you for your support, because we can't do what we do without it. For your gift, again, of any amount, if you're in the U.S. or Canada, we'll send a copy of the book to you. Find out more online, and if you are led, donate, skywatchtv.com/donate, or call us toll-free during business hours at 844-750-4985. We're looking forward to getting back to the Holy Land, especially after the weekend conference on biblical archaeology. Some exciting things coming out of the ground, not just the cursed tablet at Mount Ebal, not just the cursed inscription at Jerusalem, but things at places like Tel Gezer, which was a border city between the ancient kingdom of Judah and the Philistines. The Philistines, who more and more were seeing evidence that there was a lot of overlap between the Philistines and the Mycenaean Greeks. In other words, the Greeks who attacked Troy in the Trojan War may be connected to the Philistines and their incursion into the Holy Land. Very exciting stuff, and we will be talking about this during our tour of Israel, March 19th through 30th of 2023, with an optional three-day extension over to Jordan. We will go to Mount Nebo, one of the stops there, and from there you can see the site of ancient Sodom, Tal el Hammam. It's between Jericho and Mount Nebo, roughly speaking. And boy, just the things that we've learned, some of which is still embargoed, meaning we can't talk about it until it's peer-reviewed and published, but we'll share it as it becomes available. Find out more about the Skywatch TV 2023 Tour of Israel online at skywatchinisrael.com, skywatchinisrael.com. Final battle of the ages, of course, will be when the Antichrist emerges and Satan puts his final plans into motion, the end game for the end times. Ryan Peterson is a researcher and author who focuses on that work, and his book, The Final Nephilim, is really worth your adding to your reference library. Our four-week series with Ryan continues on this week's Skywatch TV broadcast. Don't miss it. The Skywatch TV broadcast schedule for our over-the-air broadcasts through our network affiliates. We've got it online, so you can always catch the program. SkywatchTV.com/channels, but you can watch it right now if you've got the Skywatch TV app for Roku or Apple TV. Just click the remote and we will be right there. You can also download our free mobile app, which not only gets you all of our video content, but we also add a calendar of upcoming events and news updates three times a week. Personally curated by Tom Horn, so don't miss that. It's free, available for iOS and Android devices, Amazon Kindle Fire devices as well, phones, tablets. We've got links to the app stores for all of those devices posted at the website. You'll find the link in the top menu bar at skywatchtv.com. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.